Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Saturday. This is Brother Nate, another God's Word to Man broadcast. And once again, we're grateful to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. I want to shout out to those of you that are listening to this broadcast here in the United States. Welcome to another God's Word to Man broadcast. Canada, we welcome you. Iraq, welcome. Welcome unto you, Mexico, to another God's Word to Man broadcast. To those of you in India, welcome. United Kingdom, welcome. And to every country that is listening in that I have not named, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. If you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines will be open at all times throughout the broadcast. But those of you that don't like doing it over the air, just contact us at an email address at godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's G-O-D-S-W-R-D, the number 2, M-A-N, at gmail.com. Once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we give unto you. Praise be to God. So thank God, glory be to God, and we thank God for this blessed Saturday. For those of you that follow us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, you know what it means. Saturday is heart to heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. And as we await for my brother to join on, wherever you listen to me at, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you once again for the presence of your Spirit. We thank you for another golden opportunity to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you will bless the speakers tonight, my brother, the sisters, as they come on. Lord God, that you would lead by your Spirit, put into their mouths the words that you would have for them to say, even as the prophet that Moses talked about that you would do unto, and you will put your words into his mouth. I ask that you would do so with all the speakers tonight. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. We exercise the authority you've given us against the enemy, and in Jesus' name we command the devil to cease from his hindrance, from his operations, from his maneuvers. I command every plot and scheme of Satan to fail, and I take the battle axe of the Lord and crush his plans. I take the sword of the Spirit and cut them asunder in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, I thank you for this opportunity you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Father, we thank you. Amen and amen. Thank God for another blessed day in Christ Jesus, another golden opportunity to share the gospel. This is the common goal here on Blog Talk Radio, is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is why the Lord got us on here, okay, to give the gospel, okay? This is why he got us on here. And amen. And so I just wanted to stress on that, amen, that that's the very important thing, because as we have told you many times before, you know, the time is going to come, they're going to deny the true Christians access to any kind of internet, radio, TV. So we're taking advantage of what we can take advantage of right now. So I want to pass my brother on. God bless, brother.
Shalom. Shalom, Elkai. Jesus Christ is Lord. And I'm glad today we have another opportunity and gift given to us today to share something good, something wonderful, something marvelous. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope of, the only hope for mankind and for the whole world. So glad today, brother, to see you on the top side of the earth. And we're still on the top side.
Amen.
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 That's a precious gift. You know, this is the day the Lord has given us and has made. We rejoice and be glad because he has something wonderful every day for us to give us, that we may share it and give it. And this today we should rejoice and be glad, because the greatest gift to mankind is the Son of God of Calvary. So I am just thank God for this opportunity. and this great gift of time and life, to give it and share it, to tell it, to publish it, to live it, to demonstrate it and make it known, the glorious, wonderful, triumphant, redemptive life of the Lamb of God. So glad to hear from you, and we're still able to broadcast without fear of getting shot. So I just rejoice over that. I ain't scared nobody breaking and shooting me for the gospel yet, dragging me off the jail. So let me be rejoiced.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We acknowledge Christ and the Holy Ghost and the blood of Jesus, that the inspiration of the Most High God would come upon us and be with us to celebrate the atonement, the death and the resurrection, and the second coming of our Lord. And hope given to all mankind to the declaring of the testimony of Jesus Christ as Lord. Thank you, Lord. Favor us and give us grace and bless everyone that here today, they might receive something good, something wonderful for their lives and their family. Amen. Well, thank God, brother. Even though we are sitting together, it is a marvelous thing to Apostle Paul, Peter, and even 1,000 years ago, for people to think that we'd be flying through the air like birds in a submarine, merged, going under the ocean, having a train that travels in Japan 200 miles an hour on the rail, and having automobiles like, Nahum, who saw it, who saw the automobiles going through the streets in, Zechariah, and saw the automobiles thousands of years before the invention of automobiles dashing, valiant in the streets. So now we are living in that day. So we have technology. Isn't this marvelous, brother, that we have the technology, though I'm almost 1,000 miles away from you physically, I'm talking to you 1,000 miles by the airwaves. Isn't that marvelous?
Amen. Definitely, brother. It's a blessing. And I'm humbled that we've been given such opportunity to come on Blog Talk Radio and present the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yes, indeed. This is especially what we call heart-to-heart, face-to-face. And this is the night we celebrate and attention to the women of God, the mothers and wives, and the backbone, what I call the women, the backbone. So, you know, it's grand. It's great. A marvelous opportunity we have been given. You know, a lot of times you wonder why you were born in this particular time frame, and you said at the end, the Bible says this is the last generation, Matthew 24, that we're living in. And you wonder, why were you born in the last generation? And it happened to be in the greatest nation, the most marvelous and favored nation on the earth, born in USA. And just think, Brother Nate, you could be an Iranian, or Iraqian, or Japanese, or Alaskan, or a Sudan, or Egyptian, or Islam, or Turkish, but you were born in the good old USA. And I'm kind of glad about it. I don't know about you.
Amen, brother. Definitely, I am. And once again, you know, being that it's May, I'm grateful that we've been given such a commission to give the gospel to those who are in the other nations, and giving them this golden opportunity as well to accept Jesus Christ as Lord.
Yeah, and become a part of the kingdom of God. And also the establishing of the last restoration, great movement of called the Restoration of All Things, the Church of Christ with Elijah message, with the what we call the final message, the midnight cry, the message of Elijah coming as promised in Malachi. So we are part of that part of the kingdom of God. We don't have we don't have a monopoly on all truth. And we don't claim to be the only one. I don't. I believe that And I know that God is using people all over the globe, and he's speaking and visiting many people in many nations, that Jesus is making himself known to many people in many nations, even in places that we don't even know about. And that he's going to bring all these people together in the body of Christ. He's going to bring them together. And he's going to bring people out of every nation, every color, every dominion, every ethnic group. And out of every, he's going to bring them out of every religion and bring them to the riches of faith and redemption in Christ. He's going to bring millions of the Muslims to the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. He's going to bring many Iranian, Iraqi, Turkey people, Spanish people, Asian and Asian minor people, and from every nation, he's going to reveal himself through the gospel of Jesus Christ and the power of his visitation. And he's doing it now, but it's going to widen and expand where many, many millions of people are going to be. Listen, just like Red China right now have an underground church where millions of people in Red China, though they're doing it underground, and in South Korea, and even in Japan, God is about to move, and in Turkey and Australia. This kingdom of God is going to every nation, many of the Spanish, South America, Central America. And the drug cartel is going to get a mighty, mighty blow in Mexico, and all of area of China, and they're about to receive, God's going to counteract that devil. He's going to got a, what he call, he got a special forces group called the Holy Ghost Intercessors, and they're going to overthrow that Mexican cartel in many other places, shipwreck them. They're in for a really shipwrecking in Turkey, where drugs are coming from, through Iraq and Iran, Mexico, where these drugs are coming to the United States. They're about to receive a counterintelligence insurgent from the Holy Ghost intercessor warriors about going, they're about to hit a blow to the drug demon that's coming into our nation. Lord is raising up warriors, mighty warriors, like King David, who had anointed warriors to help him to fight battle. God's the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost is raising up mighty miracle warriors. The children ministry is going to expand like you've never seen before. God's the Father is going to use so many young people. So many young people do marvelous things. So we're just grateful today. Grateful that you're not on a ventilator in a hospital or paralyzed. And those that are grateful who happen to be in sickness, disease, you can look for a miracle. You can expect a miracle. You can call on Jesus Christ for your miracle. And he will hear. And many people will see the miraculous deliverance and restoration. And God's going to confound the devil in many ways. Now, I was thinking, brother, since this is women night, that he's going to anoint women less in Jeremiah's day and Daniel's day and the prophet Hosea. He's going to anoint special women who are called the cunning women, the praying women, to intercede. Much, much the women will be used to evangelize and intercede. He'll raise up a mighty army. He's raising up a mighty miracle army. Thank God for Jesus. He got an answer for the devil.
Amen. We're grateful to the Lord for that and what he's doing, even though some may think that he's not doing anything, but he is, you know, and I thank God for what he's doing this day and time.
Yes. Africa is, the African continent is receiving a great awakening, a reawakening to the move of the Holy Ghost like many have never seen. Africa is one of God's special nations that he has used and awakened them because they are open to the gospel. The African people are more open to the gospel than many people in the world. They are more open to the gospel of Christ than the Americans are. I should have said that. Okay. All right. Well, I ain't going to take it back. I tell you, Sorry, I take that back. Thank you, Jesus. There are the African people and the Filipino and many of the Spanish people are now open. Their hearts are open to the everlasting gospel of Christ. I'm telling you that there's going to be a mighty, and it's already begun in Africa, parts of Africa. Let's pray for a greater move in South Africa. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, let there be a great move in South Africa also, a shaking and awakening. Thank you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
In Japan, Lord, do a supernatural miracle, a thing that seemed impossible among that people called Japanese. But show your hand. Show the love and your grace and move among them in Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you,
Jesus,
for our Chinese brother who are coming to you by not only by thousands, but it's going to be a millions. Thank you for our South Korean that has the largest church in the world in South Korea. Isn't that a miracle, Lord? We thank you for it.
Yes,
Jesus,
Lord.
The second and the third largest churches in the whole world is in Africa and in South Korea. Show your mighty hand, Lord, your mighty works, and we thank you for it. Amen. Now, Lord, we intervene in today in prayer for Kevin Bruce and his father, Jermaine, and her sister, Sally Bruce, who passed, and her daughters, that you grant them comforting, healing grace in Jesus, and take her place and walk in her footsteps and be the missionary and evangelist that she was, and the hospitality lady of love. Let them have the same view and goal and carry her work on in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
And now we have a sister, Sarah Hill, who for years in Chicago Locust, Christ, Church of Christ Life, a wonderful woman of God, a mighty, mighty fortress in faith, a lover of God, a lover of Jesus, a lover of the gospel, a lover of people, and a strong faith prayer woman, Sarah Hill, who lived in Kentucky, I think near Louisville, Kentucky, and she passed away last week, I think, days ago, and she'll be greatly missed, a great woman of God with great faith, Mother Sarah Hill. And now we pray comfort and hope and consolation to her family who suffer her loss. She's going to be to glory to be with the rest of the saints. And I can just see her and Mother Clark and Sister Crock and Sister Dee just dancing in the streets of gold, having a good time.
Amen.
They probably met her at the gate of glory and said, Sister Hill, come on in. Let's get this dance on.
Amen.
Oh, my
Amen.
God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank God for the women of God. Very grateful for the women of God.
And I guess Sister Sally Bruce is there to welcome her. And Sister Elaine West, you know, her mouth going for Jesus, probably going 1,000 miles a minute. Come on in here, Sister Sally. Come on in here. Let's magnify the Lord in glory. Oh,
Amen.
My God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And all the saints are just welcoming her home. And Brother Dre's, I can see his quiet, easygoing self. Sister, we're so glad to see you. Welcome home.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, they're having a glorious time, brother. They're having a glorious time there.
And just having a wonderful time homegiving, homecoming. I can see Alfred Moore from Alabama. He's the preaching man, one of the preaching men I've seen with his preaching, like John the Baptist, Alfred Moore, saying, he's just, Sister!
Amen.
Well, I can say his Brother Moore, he was a preaching man about this Elijah message gospel. He's one of the most top one that I've seen in many years. And I just see Brother Gus Treadwell, my mentor in Chicago, when I first found the Church of Jesus Christ and the gospel. Gus Trevor of Chicago. He was blind at the time, but now he said, "My eyes are open. I can see you, sister. I can see."
Amen.
And I can see Sister Dee, when she was on the earth, she had got to about 400 pounds in weight, and I can see her slim self back to her slim self weighing 140 pounds. Said, "I got it now. I don't need no more diet."
My Lord.
Don't need no more diets. No weight watching now. I got it now. I got the perfect body.
Amen. Amen.
Okay. Now faith, the Job type of faith, is getting ready to be tested. The Job type of faith. What is called the enduring faith. Now, many people have faith, but you're going to need what is called enduring faith. You know what Jesus said? He that endureth. Paul said, "I endured and fought a good fight. I endured hardness as a good soldier. I fought a good fight of affliction and suffering and persecution. Now I have finished my course." But what he said, "I endure hardness like a good soldier." So we're going to need enduring faith. Unshakable enduring faith, because Christianity and the Bible is getting, and Christians who believe in the Bible and gospel and build their faith in the Lord Jesus as the only God and Savior and will not be shaken, they are getting ready to be tested, and they're going to have what we call conquering enduring faith, set like a stone and a rock that cannot be moved. We're about to be ultimate test of Job. And are we ready? We wasn't ready for the coronavirus, and we were shaken with that as a nation, as a people, even the Christians around the world. And that was a small thing. I said that was a small thing. But the greater test, the greater havoc, and the great tribulation is before us. But the Lord is more than sufficient able to take you through with complete victory based upon your commitment. So we're talking about the enduring faith. Not only the saving faith, conversion faith, or receiving the Holy Ghost faith and healing faith, but there is enduring faith that will not be denied the victory, will stand your ground. I call it, in the world they say stand your ground. You know, they got places in America where they call stand your ground, right?
Amen.
That means pull out your gun and get it done.
Amen.
But we got our weapons of our warfare mighty through God. And I think that's found in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, the weapons of our warfare. And believe me, brother, we are going to have to release these weapons of our warfare, which are mighty to God, to pulling down and casting down every stronghold and wicked imagination of the devil that's coming against us. The witches and warlocks and sorcerers are fasting and praying to the devil to get more power to come against the Christians. And so we're going to have to pray and consecrate and fast and submit ourselves totally to Christ, as in Joel, to join the army of victory warriors. It is called, these people are called the counterintelligent insurgent secret service of the Lord Jesus. They're called warriors after the warring heart of King David and his anointed ones, like Joshua, and who fought and against Jericho and the Canaanites. We're going to have the spirit and power of Elijah, who stood up against Ahab and Jezebel. This is the kind of enduring faith and power we are going to have to endure and win the victory. Enduring faith. Turn to the 11th chapter of Hebrew, brother, let us read about why faith, the God's kind of faith, is the building block and the first principle of the gospel, and how the Lord did all things in creation when he spoke and said, let it be. The faith that created faith, that Jesus spoke, created faith and spoke the word. But there's different types of faith that is given to us, and it's the building block of our victory, faith in God and faith in the Lord Jesus and his redemption. Now, faith in God will not save you. Faith in God will not deliver you. But faith in God and in the Lord Jesus, his son, is the redemptive power, would put you on the right side. If you're not in Christ, you're not on the right side yet. This is why the gospel is preached, to get people on the right side who were excommunicated from God through the fall of Adam and bring them in connection with Christ through faith again. Faith in God and the Lord Jesus and his death on the cross and the power of his resurrection and the blood that redeems us. Those things are necessary to be a part of the kingdom of God and be called children of God. Separate you from all the world of deception is the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord. Islam have great, wonderful people, a billion people believing in Allah and Muhammad and the lies of Hare Krishna and Confucius and Buddha and all of these things, Christian science, the devil has weaved a destructive deception. But the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. The revelation that God sent his son, as is written in the scriptures, to open the eyes of the blind and redeem us from the curse. This is going to be why we're in a battle, because the devil knows in Revelation 12 that he has a little time to work to deceive all flesh. And this is why America is in a battle, because the deceiving power of Satan has invaded America. I mean, it has come to America, this Christian nation, through many ways, not only through politics and government, but through business, entertainment, through religions, to every area, Satan is working a weaving of deception and lies to turn our eyes away from the Lamb of God. Now, if you look in the entertainment, the business world, the government world, and every world is trying to renounce. Do you not know this is December and people celebrate the birth of Christ, and they're not allowed to say Merry Christmas anymore? Now, I don't celebrate the pagan side of Christmas. I'm not in agreement with the pagan side which people put to Christmas. And there's no commandment that we have to celebrate his birth. But it is a good thing to bring people remembrance that Jesus was born. So I'm not against people remembering that Christ was born. I'm not against that at all. That's a good thing. Every year they're reminded that Christ Jesus was born. And so now the devil says, no more Merry Christmas. Don't mention Christ. We don't want that to offend nobody. Wonder why he's doing that, brother?
Well, I believe that, you know, one of the things about the devil, he'll work on us little by little till he get us to completely turn. For example, like what you gave, there's this particular, if you want to call him, gospel rapper. And for a while, he was given the label as being a Christian rapper. And so he comes on one day after these few years, and he come on and say, I don't want to be no longer called a Christian rapper. I just want to be called a rapper. And what he failed to understand is that little by little, Satan is getting him to deny. Okay? And it's just like what you're talking about Christmas. They put Xmas and X out to Christ. Okay? And our adversary is very cunning. And if we aren't watchful, little by little, you deleting this, you deleting that, dealing with God, deleting this, until you just fully turn away.
Yeah, very subtle, this lying, deceiving devil. He's a slicky rascal. He has slipped into the Christian framework, brother, in many places. Many people who call themselves followers of the living Christ are now denying the virgin birth of Jesus. They're saying, like many false religions, that Jesus was not conceived by a virgin through the Holy Ghost. And the devil, once he get that down, then we have no real faith in anything that saves. Now, if you deny that Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, then you're not believing in the Bible Jesus. It's another Jesus that you being replaced. And if you're saying that Jesus was born by sin, copulation, and marital coming together of a sinful man and woman, then that makes him just like another sinful man. So the devil must destroy the real truth that Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Holy Messiah, as in chapter 1 of Luke and Matthew, chapter 1, that he actually was conceived by the power of God in the womb of Mary, who was a virgin, Isaiah 7:14. So once he can weave that into Christian faith, well, Jesus wasn't really born of a virgin, just born of a woman. So they are changing the Bible, and the scriptures now don't say a virgin woman gave birth to the son. A woman gave birth to a son. Now, there is a big difference from a woman giving birth to a son and a difference between a virgin giving birth to a son. So some Bible translators have replaced the word virgin and just say a woman. Now, that's right. A subtle trick. That's a slick trick. Now, we know that Islam don't believe that Jesus was a actually deity, God in the flesh, and the very Son of God who died on the cross of Calvary. We know that Islam don't believe that, so we know where they stand. We know that Hare Krishna, Buddha, and Christian Science, and all of those different ones, and even somewhat the Jehovah's Witness. We know where they stand concerning who is the Immaculate Son of God. We know where the Roman Catholics stand on it. And it's all off course. And we know where the Mormons who are misled and deceived believe on it. Now, the reason I'm calling these names, because in the Bible, God is very specific. He calls out deception. He don't say, well, I don't want to say no. I want to say this because somebody might get their feelings hurt. They can just stay in darkness, and I'm not going to expose the devil. I'm not going to say anything about the deception of the devil. I'm just going to be quiet and be nice. Is that how it's going to go, brother?
Oh, no, that ain't how it's supposed to go. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry that Moses, Joshua, Abraham, Isaiah, Hosea, Jeremiah, and Elijah, and Daniel, they didn't quite see it that way. Noah called it what it was in his day. Now the Christians want to be, let's not hurt nobody's feelings. You might hurt Brother Nate's feelings. You tell him the real truth. Let him remain in darkness. You know, this is okay if you want to believe a lie. You don't have to warn him or awaken him. Just let him die in his deception. It's okay. But if you go tell him, you're hurting his feelings. Is that how it's going to go?
Sorry, nope.
Well, the gospel is the gospel of love, because the gospel of love came to snatch you from hell and from going to the lake of fire. I call that a lot of love. Keep me out of that place, boy, right? But it's more than that. It's to bring you to the bosom of the Father in the place that he's prepared for you because of his love for all mankind. His love, to know his love, to know his redemption place, and what he has planned for those that come to him and follow him in eternity. Listen, the founder, called the founding father of America in 1776, before 1776, of the Revolutionary War, George Washington received a vision from an angel. Now, your history book is not going to tell you about this, that the founding father, what we call George Washington, first president, received a visitation from the angel of God while he was in Valley Forge. The angel visited him when he was, although he had given up hope, with they were just about defeated, the most ragged, hungry, cold army, and they were just despondent. And the angel of the Lord came into his tent and told George Washington and showed him a vision about the outcome of the Revolutionary War, and then showed him the other wars that was coming to America and what America was going to be in. You should find the vision that George Washington had about America, about the Union. Then there was a man, we'll fast forward, there was man that many women, men during the period of past had visions about this nation when it was be birthed. But in the latter day, there was a man called, let me see, William Branham, a healing miracle evangelist in the 1940s and 50s, William Branham had a great vision about America and its end. Then there was another man called evangelist, tent preacher, healing evangelist called A.A. Allen. Then there was another minister, charismatic minister of God, a man named Kenneth Hagin in the 50s and 60s. Then there was another great apostolic healing minister, intercessor named David Terrell, evangelist, a prophet, David Terrell of Dallas, Texas. All had visions that talks about the end and the, what America will come to. So the Bible said in what, Joel 2:28, in the last days, I pour out my Holy Spirit upon all nations, all flesh, and your sons and daughters have dreams and visions. So a lot of people have visions and visitations. And then there's another man named W.A. Dre, the apostle of the Church of Christ, had visions about the nations of the earth and about America and what she would have to go through and what would be the end of America as a nation. So all of these visions are to be studied in line with the Word of God. And so, but they have come out to be connected together and be seem to be very accurate. We should put our faith in the written Word of God, but the visions help us to keep our eye focused upon what God wants to do. All right, then, what we got here? How is this enduring faith? I want you to read something about, we talked about that faith, the gospel is divided into seven principal parts. And the gospel is the first principle of the gospel, and that the faith is a spiritual gift as well as a fruit of the Spirit, but it's also not only a principle, but it's a spiritual gift and a fruit. And it's probably the most important building block because God can do nothing without faith. Hebrews says in the 11th chapter, now faith. And if you read the 11th chapter of Hebrews, you'll see why the faith of God is the most important beginning building block for the people of God in Christ. That without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I didn't make that up. And you can't do away with that revelation that Paul says in Hebrews 11. Without faith, and God's kind of faith, the God's kind of faith concerning the gospel, without that kind of faith, it is impossible to please God. So we're going to read something why it's impossible and why we need the enduring faith this hour, called the Job testing faith. The Job testing faith is about to come to every Christian, every Bible-believing Christian in the Western Hemisphere. It's already begun in the Far East, and is now invading our government because in America, in the free Christian, what we call the Western civilization world, the laws are being now changed in government to stop Christians from preaching, teaching the Bible. You get that?
Amen.
And this is why we're on this radio, because there's going to be some difficulty for us to preach the gospel over the airwaves. There's going to be so many laws and rules. You can't preach this. You can't preach this, Brother Nate. You can't preach this. They tried to shut the apostles up in their day. What did they do to the apostles in their day to try to shut them up?
Well, they beat them, for one thing. Beat them and told them, don't go back and preach that teaching that name anymore.
So if you're going to read something at the beginning of the Church of Jesus Christ, the redeemed body of believers, and read chapter, what, the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th chapter, persecution arose. And even the Jews themselves, who were religious leaders, began to rail against the apostles, threaten them, and then whoop them and beat them, throw them in prison, and then they even killed some of them. James, the apostle James, was said to be the first martyr, killed the first of the original 12 apostles, and then Stephen was stoned to death. So they began Rome killing them, but the Jews took part in it. And we want to know that this persecution is coming to America. And I know you want to hear about the fur coats and the big houses and the Mercedes and all of that. Well, that's good. I'm glad you want to hear that. I hope you sell your Mercedes and give it that money to the poor and the sick and the diseased who need it. And you get a bicycle and start riding it. Okay, then. By the way, you're going to need that bicycle in a little while. So you better keep it. Your car may be much use to you. When these volcanoes and these earthquakes and these tidal waves hit the nation, you may not be able to drive much. You might need wings of an eagle. What do you think, brother?
I agree, brother, 100%, that these things are going to hit. And, yes, you're going to need the bicycle. But, you know, brother, it's so amazing how so many Christians don't believe that, because right now the hot thing is the rapture. So when you're telling them anything like this, I don't have to worry about it. I can be gone any day.
Well, okay. Well, individualists do a dying every day, but I'm afraid the general populace will still be here. Individuals are leaving the earth somewhat every day, but as a whole, I'm afraid the body of Christ, the redeemed covenant believers, they'll still be hanging around, because God's got a work for them to do. He's not through with that work, so you ain't going nowhere. You might want to fly away, but I'm afraid everybody, you're not flying away until the work is done. Okay. Now imagine, brother, they all fly away, and all these millions of souls are left here. Who's going to preach them the gospel? Oh, I forgot. They think that the 144,000 Jews going to preach the gospel. Well, who's going to preach the gospel to them? Wait a minute. Yeah, I don't want to get into this. They got this thing all messed up with the 144,000. They're going to preach to the people that's left. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, who's going to convert the unbelieving Jews, the 144,000? Who's going to anoint them? And then they claim that the Holy Ghost is going to leave after the rapture leave. Well, how are they going to get converted without the Holy Ghost if the Holy Ghost leave, brother? I don't get this teaching that I hear. But anyway. Let's move on. We're not going to argue about that, because we're getting entangled about whether we believe or don't believe. People don't believe in healing, don't believe in deliverance, don't believe in raising the dead. There's a lot of stuff people don't believe. They don't believe that God wants you to live a holy life, an overcoming life, a victorious life. They don't believe that angels come, that visions come, that the word of God, that God speaks. It's a lot of stuff that people don't believe. It's unbelief is still the earth. Unbelief is that dangerous spirit. Ignorance and unbelief is the most two dangerous, ignorance and unbelief. And Satan is behind. You notice that I find that people believe in a devil, but they don't believe in God. I have found religious people who believe that the devil is doing a lot of stuff, but they don't believe that God is doing nothing. Well, I'm kind of confused about that. I'm confused.
Amen.
I want to know when faith. I want to tell me the day that faith stopped working. Could you tell me when did faith stop working? The very day and hour God said faith would stop working. Because a lot of people said there is no miracles, no healing. I said, well, how do you still believe that faith, all things are possible through believing? Well, then, if you believe that faith is still relevant in the gospel and faith with prayer can get all things done, then how can you say God cannot do it? If I can believe for a miracle, an impossible thing, and I have the faith to believe it, then how is miracles done away with? Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11 and read the first verses, because we're going to need enduring faith, the enduring faith of God, written according to the scriptures. In the 11th chapter of Hebrew, read, sir.
Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Now, I want you to read it in the other book called The Second Witness, because the Lord always do things by two and threes. Now, I know that the Bible is God testimony in his word, but the Lord never established anything on one. I'm sorry, but I got to believe what the scripture says. You go from 18th chapter of Matthew to the book of Corinthians, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. So the Lord never, in his pattern of doing things, the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, never do anything except he establish it in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Now, I know we have the Bible as the first witness, but the Bible is not of all, it does not have all of God's writing and all of testimony. Now, the Bible is the abridged version, Now, if there is not a second witness to bear up what the Bible says, then God is breaking his pattern. There has to be a second and a third witness to verify everything God does. And the Bible is only one witness. That's why you see in the Bible, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going to get into why the Lord is revealed as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit three. Now, I'm not going to argue about this right now, because people want to debate about is there three or one, one or three and all that. But everything that the Lord revealed, do you know your human body is made of three parts? Spirit, soul, and body. The earth in its atmosphere has three layers of dimension. Listen, I want you to understand there is always another witness to bear witness. There's always a witness to bear witness and verify. So we're going to read from a second witness, page 769, in the second witness, the record that Lord revealed to the Joseph tribe, the tribe of Joseph, when they were dispersed to America. Genesis 49, the Manasseh and Ephraim was led to America, and they received instruction from Jesus Christ called the Second Witness, and they wrote it. Now, this book verifies the Bible, and the Bible verifies this book. Let's read from page 769, verse 20. 769 in the other book, brother, Joseph's record. Page 769, verse 20.
Okay, that would be 768, verse 20. Okay. And now, my brethren, how is it possible that ye can lay hold upon every good thing? And now I come to that faith of which I said it was I would speak. And I will tell you the way whereby ye may lay hold on every good thing. For behold, God knowing all things, being from everlasting to everlasting, behold, he sent angels to minister unto the children of men, to make manifest concerning the coming of Christ. And in Christ there should come every good thing. And God also declared unto prophets by his own mouth that Christ should come. And behold, there were divers ways that he did manifest some things unto the children of men, which were good, and said all things which are good cometh of Christ. Otherwise men were fallen, and there could no good thing come unto them. Wherefore, by the ministering of angels, and by every word which proceeded forth out of the mouth of God, men began to exercise faith in Christ, and thus by faith they did lay hold upon every good thing, and thus it was until the coming of Christ. And after that, he came in, also was saved by faith in his name, and by faith they become the sons of God. And as surely as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our Father, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be done unto you. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, have miracles ceased, because that Christ have ascended to heaven, and have sat down on the right hand of God, to claim of the Father his rights on mercy, of mercy, which he have upon the children of men. For he have answered the ends of the law, and he claimeth all those that have faith in him, and they that have faith in him will cleave to every good thing. Wherefore he advocated the cause of the children of men, and he dwelleth eternally in the heavens. And because he have done this, my beloved brethren, have miracles ceased. Behold, I say unto you, nay, neither have angels ceased to minister unto the children of men. For behold, they are subject unto him to minister according to the word of his command, showing themselves unto them of strong faith and of a firm mind in every form of godliness. And the office of their ministry is to call men unto repentance and to fulfill and to do the work of the covenants of the Father, which he have made unto the children of men, to prepare the way among the children of men by declaring the word of Christ unto the chosen vessels of the Lord, that they may bear testimony of him. And by so doing, the Lord God prepareth the way that the residue of men may have faith in Christ, that the Holy Ghost may have place in their hearts according to the power thereof. And after this manner bringeth to pass the Father the covenants which he hath made unto the children of man. Christ hath said, if ye have faith in me, ye shall have power to do whatsoever thing is expedient in me. And he hath said, repent all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, and have faith in me that ye may be saved. And now, my beloved brethren, if this be the case that these things are true, which I have spoken unto you, and God will show you unto you with power and great glory at the last day, that they are true. And if they are true, have the day of miracles ceased? Or have angels ceased to appear unto the children of men? Or have he withheld the power of the Holy Ghost from them? Or will he, so long as time shall last, for the earth shall stand, but there shall be one man upon the face thereof to be saved. Behold, I say unto you, nay, it is by faith that miracles are wrought. It is by faith that angels appear, minister unto men. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, woe be unto the children of men, for it is because of unbelief, and all is in vain. But no man can be saved according to the words of Christ, save they shall have faith in his name. Wherefore, if these things have ceased, then have faith ceased also. And awful is the state of man, but they are as though there had been no redemption made. But behold, my beloved brethren, I judge better things of you. I judge that ye have faith in Christ because of your meekness. For if ye have not faith in him, then ye are not fit to be numbered among the people of his church. And again, my beloved brethren, I will speak unto you concerning hope. How is that ye can obtain faith, say ye have hope? And what is that ye shall hope for? Behold, I say unto you that ye shall have hope through the atonement of Christ and the power of his resurrection to be raised unto life eternal, and this because of your faith in him according to the promise. Wherefore, if a man have faith, he must need have hope, for without faith there cannot be any hope. And again, behold, I say unto you that he cannot have faith and hope, say he shall be meek and lowly of heart. If so, his faith and hope is in vain, but none is acceptable before God, save the meek and lowly in heart. And if a man be meek and lowly in heart, and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must needs have charity. For if he have not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long and is kind and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing. for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all, for all things must fail. But charity is the pure love of Christ, and the dear forever, and whoso is found possessed of it, at the last day it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with this love, which ye have bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified even as he is pure. Amen.
Amen. Now, that was very, very inspiring. It was laid down for us like, that was laid out real, real clear, wasn't it?
Amen.
Now, it talks about faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and the love of God. God's kind of faith, God's kind of hope, and God's kind of love. Without these three qualities, we are nothing. So this kind of God's kind of faith in Christ, in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it cannot be a faith that's faith in something, but it's a faith in someone. It's not a faith that's bare without focus, but it's focused on the person who is the author of faith, the author of hope, and the love. Salvation is in a person, not a religion. Our hope got being something that can't fail, and a person that's not limited, but absolutely cannot fail. This is why the Lord sent his Son, to bear witness that the only thing that can't fail and the only thing that can redeem you is through his Son and his death. Now, if you don't believe this, this is the day to make a choice. The Lord, help me to know the truth. Help me to see this. Is this the truth? Where is my faith and my hope at? Where is my love? All right. Where are the sisters? Where are our sisters at? Missionaries, vision. Where are they?
I give them a minute,
enduring
brother.
Faith. Enduring faith. And enduring faith, do you know that one of the reasons why it's hard for us to love our enemies, and one of the reasons why many of us, we struggle with loving them that hate us and despise us, and do you know God sent his Son to give us to do the impossible that we cannot do in our own ability? He gave us the miracle of his love. And the miracle was the love was his Son wrapped in his love. And his love redeemed you from that nature that can't into the nature that can. I said the nature that can't to the nature that's changed that can. So it's not the religion that changed you. It's the nature of God that is put in you by the Holy Ghost that makes you possible to do. You, in your flesh, in your carnal man, find it hard to just love people, because it's hard to love people that you can't stand or you don't like, or your race, or not your class, or your kind, or not in your group. Now, if you can only love the people in your group, that's called religion. Now, you notice some people are religious, they only love the people in their group or in their
Amen.
Church group. Well, that's
Amen.
Religion. That's not the love of Christ. You may think it's the love of Christ. But you don't have the revelation of the real love of God. You think love is emotions or feelings. But love is a decision to accept the Son, who is the love of God, and let his love be revealed through you. That's why many people struggle with loving people that's not in their race, their color, their culture, or their class, or in their church. There are people who are good people, wonderful people, But they don't love people who don't believe exactly the way they believe. They figure that I have to only love the people that believe like I believe in my group. Well, I belong to this church group, and there is nobody outside of my group. Well, that's religion. You may think you may think it otherwise, but all that is a Pharisee spirit. So here we don't want to be delivered from the Pharisee spirit. And delivered. Mm-hmm. Ask the Lord, deliver me from all the Pharisee spirit. Oh, deliver me. Cleanse me. Break every root out of me. I can only love those, if you're not a Baptist, you're out. If you're the Episcopalian, or if you're not a Church of Christ, or you're outside, cannot, and I will not show you mercy, kindness, or love of God. I'm sorry about that. You have to join my group to get this love, and I ain't going to give you none. And that's the way Jesus acted, and that's the way I'm going to act. Okay. But I'm afraid we are misled by our flesh and our pride. That's not the God's kind of love. Now, it may have a speck in it, but it's really got a lot of dirt in it. Now, when your enemy do something to you, your flesh part of you get aggravated and don't like it, of course. But the new man in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17, John chapter 3, just in case, Ephesians chapter 5, Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Do you know why the real purpose of you having the Holy Spirit in you, the two important parts, why you have to have the Holy Spirit in you? Very, very important. Now, okay, sister, are y'all on now?
Yeah, sister. God bless you, brother. Say, how you doing?
Bless you. Blessed of the Lord. I'm blessed. And, brother, you kind of faded out there for a minute. And the reasons why you must meet the Holy Spirit, you kind of faded away. And,
well, you can finish it out, sister. You can finish it out.
Oh.
Have you been able to talk to Sister Fox? Have you?
No, sir. No, sir. No, sir. I contacted someone in Chicago, though, to see if I could get some information for his, like, address or phone numbers. And they have not got back in touch with me because I had talked to Mother before she passed and asked her for the address of the home where she was. And she was calling for the nurse, but the nurse never did come in the room, so she couldn't remember the address herself.
Okay.
So I never sent an address. No, sir.
I had talked to her several times, but I was trying to get her address. I know I talked to her a couple of days. I thought she was supposed to text me her address somewhere in Madison, but I haven't got it yet. I guess she's kind of taking it hard, so she's not answering calls to where they are. I talked to her the other day, but I didn't quite get addressed where she lived. I was supposed to get it last week. I was talking to her last week. I said, oh, I got your address, because I haven't been out there since she's moved to suburb of Chicago. I haven't been out there. So I went out there actually visited her, so I didn't really have her address exactly where she lived. She was supposed to give it to me. I thought she had texted, but I didn't see it, you know.
Yes, sir.
So keep on praying for her and her family. She's taking kind of, you know, hard.
Yes, sir.
Just, you know, like Kevin Bruce, he's taking his mother very, very hard for a long time, and many times it affects many people different ways. So, some people, you know, rise above it easily, and then some people takes a long time for them to be healed.
Okay.
And the same way, when, you know, Phyllis lost her husband Sam, it took a very deep, very deep wound and hole in her heart. So, you know, for a while I didn't know if she was going to make it. I was trusting God. Some people, sad to say, don't make it from losing a loved one or losing one. Mm-hmm. Some people, a few people, don't ever come back really to themselves.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Well, that happens
mm-hmm.
sometimes.
Yeah.
So, well, let's pray mm-hmm. for the family. And Mother yeah. is up there dancing with Sister Clark and Mother Crockett, and they're having a good time. And probably Elaine was talking a mile a minute. Come on. And I guess Mother Clark saying, Brother Crockett said, let's get a dance going on here.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Well, I thank and praise the Lord for, you know, the word. It meant a lot and very important to me that was coming forth. And I thank and I praise the Lord for it. I thank and praise the Lord for the men and women that have gone on that did pave the way. And we really have been lifting them up and praying for them. And we have oh, my God, and I know there are more, but the names that the Lord have given us, and we have put them on a prayer list. And at the time at least a year or so, we have had Sister Mary Fox and Mother Hill on the prayer list, along with Brother Eddie C. Creed, and there are several more. I heard you call names last night, and thank God every one of them was on our prayer list that I heard you call them out. And the Lord has recently given us a whole nother group of names to really cry out for them. And those names were Norma Lyles, Larry Garcia Williams, Edward Coffey, Willie D. Coffey, Terry Law, James Parker, Ernie Fife. Also, it was Richard and Reese Johnson, Jarris Yates. I mean, we have several, but it was a group of those men that the Lord has laid on our heart. We do have them on the prayer list to really cry loud and, you know, spare not for them. And I just thank and I praise the Lord. And even as the word was going forth and I was listening, and I know for a fact myself, and the Lord has bear witness to me regarding the three witnesses, and there are, you know, that the Lord has put on. And as you were speaking, the Lord had brought it back to my mind and back to my attention that, you know, when one, you know, the Lord, like you were saying, and I definitely agree from the witnesses that the Lord had given to me about there was a reason. It was a reason why, you know, other records was given other than the Bible. And the Lord brought it back to my mind while you was talking that Israel, they was unwilling to live peaceful together. So therefore, they was obligated to live apart. And this called for another record. And
yep.
The Lord has, you know, bear witness to me about these the three witnesses and the three measures of meal, and that anybody that cannot receive this or believe this, if you believe the Bible, if you believe what's in that Bible, you will be able to receive, and God will reveal to you about the other records. And I just thank and I praise the Lord for the truthfulness of the word.
Yeah. A lot of things yet being revealed to people who are slow, because, you know, one of the reasons why many people are slow, because some things that they are taught by traditions of men.
Yeah.
And what it does, the opinions and thoughts of men have an effect to blind and bind. So if it's not, that's why when you read prophecy or prophecy expert or vision, you have to check them very closely, because some of them are the thoughts and opinions of men, not revelation from God. And this is why we check everything. We don't accept everything just because this man is a prophet, this man's a seer, and he has spoken good stuff. You check everything by the word of God. I don't care who it is. You measure it by what's written. And this is why how traditions and opinions, when you read commentaries, they have a lot of opinions of men. Some of them are good and come from God, but you have to discern when you get to a fork of the road that you have to check it out, that this is an opinion and a thought and of a man. This is not a revelation directly from God. Now, when we don't discern scripture, that's why a lot of commentaries, traditions, you read written by certain people from certain points of view, you have good men, Christian men, that believe that God does not speak today. These are good, saved, redeemed people. Yeah. It's not that, but they are blinded by tradition and thinking. They didn't get that from the revelation of God or the Holy Spirit or from the Bible. They think that God does not speak, that Jesus is not the same today, that the gospel is not the same, that angels, that vision, that revelation, that healing, that raising of the dead, that deliverance is not for today. And they have misinformed people because they can't say God revealed that directly to me by the Holy Spirit, gave me ample witnesses and correction, because it's a thought and an opinion, a theory of man. So when you read commentaries or any prophecy or in Revelation, you have to carefully compare it to the what the prophets and what the apostles and Jesus taught. You have to check it out. I don't care who it is. Check it out.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I took it upon myself to read in the early days. I read and such, and I looked at these things, the Christian signs, Mary Betty Ecker, the Jehovah Witness. I read that stuff, the Quran, the Kabbalah. I read these things, and I checked them out by the Bible, and I took them. I took the Quran. I took the Christian signs, the Jehovah Witness, the Seventh Day. I took these things and measured them, and I began to look at them carefully. And the honest heart would see so many holes in this stuff. I mean, you can be objective and say, "Lord, open my eyes and humble me." You would see so. And this is why people don't like me. I look at things and check some things out, and for myself, I look at the moment, and I says, they want me to lie and say the Mormons are Christians. People want me to lie and say the Roman Catholics are Christians. I can't lie. I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm. Can't lie.
You may not lack me until there is no more lack, but I still ain't. I'm not taking back what I've seen and measured by the gospel of Christ. No. You being a black Hebrew ain't going to save you. You being a white Hebrew ain't going to save you. You being a European Jew don't save you. You being a Christian, that don't save you. I'm not going to lie to people. This is the day of deception. This is the day of lying. The Matthew 24 said, Jesus said many would be deceived. He didn't say few. He said many. He said many. I don't intend to be the one to be deceived. Lord, help me. Humble me, because I don't want to be deceived, and I'm going to check the book out and compare everything, every vision, every revelation. Do you know that how those people got led into deception in the Mormons and realized, you know why they got led into darkness? How the Christians and the Eddie Bakers and Jehovah Witness, when I go among the Jehovah Witness and I try to talk to them and show them, they're good people, wonderful people. I go among the Islam, the Seventh-day Adventists, I went to the Catholic priest. I said I didn't talk to Catholic priests. I talk to them because I'm not afraid of them. Why am I not afraid of them? Why should I fear? When I know that I know, and I'm sure that I know, and I stand on what Jesus said. So I talk to Catholic priests. I didn't go to condemn them. I come to open their eyes and reason with them. I didn't come to put them down, just to show them.
Amen.
Now,
yes, God.
When I go to tell them the evidence, and I said among them, they said, oh, you know the first thing the Catholic priest, when I said among one of them, they said, how do you know all this stuff? You know what the Catholic priest said to me? We need you over here. I said, yeah, okay. I said among all the good Christians, the believers who are really redeemed and enlightened from the apostolic, the church of God, the apostolic faith, because they are more enlightened in the things of God and the gospel. And so when I say some other things that they don't know, well, you know how that go. If it didn't come through our head, it's not of God. So I said, okay, who's your head?
Yeah.
I said, what head are you talking about? I said, I have respect for your head. But let me tell you something, that everything that comes out of their mouth does not come from God.
Amen. Amen.
See, that's the mistake they made with Joseph Smith. That's the mistake they're making with the Pope. That's the mistake that Jehovah's Witness, those people are sitting in New York telling them, and they don't examine stuff for themselves.
Yeah.
Jesus. Yeah. And that's why in the Church of Christ, the Last Message, a lot of people don't like me because I examine stuff for myself. So in that case, you ain't going to never like me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. And I can be corrected. I can be in error. And I'm open to be corrected in the Lord's way. If you can correct me, convince me, I'm willing to listen. I'm not going to close my ears and say I know it all. Absolutely not. That's foolishness. Amen. That's why when he read the book today, to bear witness, declare something. That
yes,
everyone
Lord.
That has an ear to hear, everyone that loves truth, God got a way of touching you and drawing you in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. All right,
Amen.
Sister, we got how many? 5 minutes? Let me see where we're at here. Yeah, we got 5 minutes left. Brother Nate, you want to add something to that? I didn't mean to leave you out, bro.
No, brother. I mean, basically, I had been looking at a couple of things the news lately that was very interesting. One of them was about what Pope Francis said, two or three days ago, how he mixed the little good in with the bad, and how that they had in the news that he began to get on Christians for not, quote, breaking the rules and the commandments. I said, wow, that's interesting. So, you know, a lot of these things are coming forth, and it's very much coming forth in the open. But as believers, we still either have our head in the sand or have our hands or our eyes. But sooner or later, thing dealing with the Pope is coming out more and more obvious. You know, the Lord told us that you can tell a tree by its fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it takes time for a fruit to develop on the tree. And so I tell people just sit back and watch.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see the fruit manifest.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. You know, when that snake come in the garden, he wasn't appearing as a snake in the beginning. When he first talking to Eve or creeping in there, he didn't come as a snake, or what you call a serpent in the beginning. But his spirit was a snake.
Mm-hmm.
He was a demon in disguise, utilizing someone and masquerading. And so he slyly slipped this in. He slipped this in so cool that it brought down. He slipped this in. I don't know how long it took for him to persuade her. The Bible didn't tell you how long it took. to seduce her. But I got a feeling when I read that he didn't get her in the as easy as we thought immediately, because that's not how Satan always works. It takes time sometimes to get certain people. So he did a lot of masquerading when he slipped in this little lie. And it wasn't, and it sounded so reasonable, he finally persuaded her. It takes time. But if she had stuck to the word, and here's the thing, if she had stuck to the promise of God, all she had to do was do like Jesus told the devil when he was fasting. You know how Jesus dealt with the devil when he was fasting 40 days, and every time the devil approached him? If we had learned that, that simple thing, Jesus told the devil, is it not written? It is important for us to know what is written.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
That's what stands. You know, we got three books, and I meet so many people who don't know what's written.
Amen.
And they got titles.
Jesus.
They got titles.
Yes.
Offices.
Yeah.
So when I say I'm going to examine the 121, 122, 123, 24, 125, 126. I'm going to examine them the way God said through his looking glass. And I'm going to examine them, and I'm not taking your word for it.
Jesus, word of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
And I had the nerve to tell Brother Dre's one time, I said, where is that written at? Hey, Emmy, if you're going to be arrogant all the way. Okay. Because I'm going to ask you to prove that you want me to build a foundation on something, and I got to stand on it, up on this rock, then you got to make sure it's the rock.
Yes, Lord. Jesus, thank you, Jesus.
If you tell me I can't raise my hand in the service and say hallelujah, that that's not allowed, I just want you to tell me and show me where that's not the rock. That's all.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be argumentative. Just show me in the example in the rock if that's not true. If I can't pray openly with my voice, if I can't pray as a congregation with a corporate prayer, okay, show me.
Jesus.
If tongues are not for this generation, if prophecy, if the word of wisdom is healing, if miracles is not, show me. Prove it.
Prove it, yes.
And I'm going to start with the written word. Children of God, you better know what's written. Then you better ask for understanding from God.
Yes. Oh, yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
As we go today, when I first came to the Lord, I was in my washroom. I said, Lord, I want to know whether the Elijah message, this message that I got, is it true, is of God. Now, I sat down and read the scripture and read the word of the Lord, and I started reading the Bible. I said, now, the guy that gave it to me says it's true. And the people I talked to, they say it's real. I said, but that's not good enough for me.
Jesus. Yes. Amen.
If they say it's okay if God say through them, but in the end result, you have to know.
Yes, amen.
And if you not show and know, the first little wind blow on your life, you're going to fold.
Yes, amen.
And you know why a lot of people not in this work anymore? When the wind blow on their foundation, and it's going to blow.
Yes.
And they blew them away.
My Lord, thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Yes.
And so you got to have the enduring witness in faith. All right, Brother Nate. Yes, you got to have the enduring assurance of faith and knowing. Enduring
Amen.
Faith and knowing.
Yes. Amen.
You got to be convinced by God. You got to be convinced by the Word and convinced by the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Or else you're going to get blown away.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Amen.
I said you're going to get blown away.
Yes.
All right, but Nate, do you want to get the invitation?
For those of you that are listening, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord, we ask that today if you are willing and ready to do it, all you have to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent of my sins. I accept you, Jesus Christ, and confess you as my Lord and Savior. I believe you were raised from the dead for me. And you said, whosoever cometh to you, you in no wise cast them out.
Amen.
And you said, whosoever shall call upon your name shall be saved. Lord God, I thank you this day for saving me in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you have
Amen.
Done that with sincere heart, you are born again. And you are in the family of God. And we call you
now
brother or
baptized.
Sister in Christ.
Go be baptized in water in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God
Thank you.
For another blessed broadcast. Don't forget, tomorrow night we'll be back with another part to concerning my brother and myself. We will be back on concerning the walk from the early church even to now. Praise be to God. So look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock p.m. So
Amen.
Once again, we thank God for all you've been listening. As for Brother Lee, this is Brother Nate, Sister Anderson. We love you. God bless you and God keep you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless.
Amen. Love you guys. God
Amen.
Bless you.